Well, as you know from the video, Pastor Athel is not back yet, and I get the privilege to be with you this morning and to bring an encouragement. Something that Daniel said in his last words got me. He said, things that God is doing among us to encourage us. And that's what today's message is about. The things Jesus is doing among us that encourage us to want to do more. Not to earn anything, of course, but because we love him and we love what he offers the world both now and what he is bringing to the world in the future. And so I just resonated with that, and that is what today's message is all about. I've titled the message, Sharing the Gospel, the Most Loving Thing That You Can Do. Sharing the Gospel, the Most Loving Thing That You Can Do. So for the past 3 weeks, we've had, prior to my speaking, we've had guests that Athel purposely invited in because we partner with them in ministry locally. So you had Gary Kendall, you had Dave Cole, and Zach Nicholson, and the ministries that they're involved with. Athel invited them in to share, to stir us up in our hearts and to see that we have ministries that we're partnering with. Collegiate Impact is another one that we can get plugged into and engage into the gospel, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the most loving thing that you can do for anyone. We're going to talk about why it is the most loving thing you can do. So Pastor Athel invited these people in, and the idea is to stir us up to get excited about the gospel and to take it out from the four walls of the church, like we're going to do on August 20th. That's a prayer walk, but also Because We Care is coming up in our near future. The ministries that have shared in the past 3 weeks. And I want to keep saying we have Collegiate Impact right in our midst here. They're reaching out to college students. And so the whole message is about hearing some of these testimonies, being encouraged about what Jesus is doing in our midst, so we'd be stirred on the inner man to want to do more because we love Jesus and we believe in the gospel. So I would like to start with a story. It's a salvation on an Easter Sunday. So this happened about 10 years ago in another country across the Atlantic. My wife and I were living in another nation. It was a Muslim nation. And we had been praying for the Lord to show us avenues. And the testimony is not about us. It's to encourage you to do the same thing. So we were praying. We're asking the Lord, in what ways do you want us to engage some of the local people? And so while Gilnara was praying, she got a sense that the Lord wanted her specifically to go to this, it was a orphanage for teenage girls. Now, to just give you a little context, these are the most vulnerable orphans in terms of their condition in life. You had the younger orphans who had a pretty stable place to be, but once you became teenagers in that country, there were no other options except for Christian ministries like the one these girls ended up in. So there was a handful of these teenage girls who were in this orphanage, and Gilnara thought, I need to go to this orphanage. That was the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to go there and I'm going to teach them some life skills to help them to earn money or to find a job. And so she did that. She went there and she started engaging in with these ladies, these young ladies. And she befriended them and they talked and she began to sow the seed of the Word of God. And in their relationship, at some point, we invited them to our house to have a meal. And so we began to have this relationship with this group of girls. And then it moved on from there. It was invitation. Why don't you come to our house on Sunday mornings and we'll read the Bible together and talk about it? And so we did that. And that leads us up to one Sunday morning. It was an Easter Sunday morning. So all this relationship has happened. We've been talking to them. We've been fellowshipping with them over food. We've played games with them, different things like that. And on this Easter Sunday, we gave a clear gospel message, and three orphan teenage girls gave their lives to Jesus that morning. And they're still walking with the Lord today. So the point of it is that we engage. First we pray, we ask Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Today we're talking about different ministries that have shared in the past, these past 3 weeks. Collegiate Impact, Travis shared a while ago. And also just being in your neighborhood, where the whole point of the message is that you ask the Lord, where do you want me to engage with people so I can share the gospel? So maybe it's your immediate neighbor next door, and the Lord is saying, hey, why don't you invite them over for coffee? Now, that was the Gary Kendall message 3 weeks ago with Loving KC. He was talking about going to your neighbors and just finding a natural way to engage with them. He played basketball with his neighbor, ended up sharing the gospel, right? But there's other ways. Just find that natural thing, that skill that you already have, and ask the Holy Spirit, how can I use this? So you ask, then you begin to get relationship, the door opens for the conversation, and then you can share the gospel, the most loving thing you can ever do for anyone. So that's what we did in Azerbaijan, and we saw these three girls come to faith and had the privilege of discipling them for a while as well. So why is sharing the gospel the most loving thing that we can do? Do you mind if I brag on Jesus' resume a little bit? Okay, I think we can brag on his resume. Okay, I want to brag a little bit about Jesus. Now remember, the good news, and this is why it's the most loving thing to do, okay? The good news is what Jesus Christ has done for the salvation of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. He came. He lived a life of faith on earth, which means he did what his Father told him to do. He knew the scriptures. He had an intimate relationship with his Father through the Holy Spirit, and he followed the leadership of Holy Spirit in his life. He did whatever the Father told him to do. He lived a life of faith. He died. It was a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins for all people. Anyone who would believe that he actually died for them, in their heart, at the heart level, if they believe that, they would be forgiven and given freedom and eternal life. So it was a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. He rose from the dead. This gives us great hope. Jesus was the pioneer of resurrection. It means that anybody who has been born again, who has the Holy Spirit in them, can confidently know, take it to the bank, so to speak, that when Jesus comes back, they will rise. Why? Because he rose, and he showed the way. He said, watch, and we know that he rose from the dead, so we too will rise from the dead and live with him forever. He not only resurrected from the dead, but he gave a promise before he left. He said he ascended to heaven, to the right hand of the Father, and he promised that he would send a comforter. This is also part of the good news. He sends a comforter. His name is Holy Spirit. He's God, and he's alive in every person who ever says yes to the Lord Jesus. When they believe in him and believe in what I'm just talking about now, then he enters. I mean, can you imagine what that means? God, the creator of the earth, puts his spirit into a human. This is amazing. This is a miracle. If you get anything today, what I'm talking about right now is the greatest miracle that can happen in any human life, that they can go from death to life, from darkness to light, because of the work of Jesus Christ. So he sends the comforter, and then beyond that, in resurrection and being with him forever, he promises eternal life both now and forevermore through the Holy Spirit. We have life, eternal life now. Eternal life, it's not a place, he's a person. Jesus said that in the scriptures, that eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ, whom he sent. Knowing him is the eternal life. We know him now, so we have eternal life. And when we die, we will rise from the dead, and we will live eternally to be with him forever. So let's look at the resume. That was a pretty good start, right? Let's look at a few other things. So I'm saying these things to encourage you. This is the gospel message, and the message that you can take to anybody outside of the four walls of the church, and it is the most loving thing you can do. Jesus revealed the great love of God by the life he lived. He was the exact representation of the Father. When he was on the earth doing everything he was doing, he showed us who the Father was. So if you want to know God, in other words, all you have to do is pay attention to Jesus. You'll know the Father. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. This was his passion. So when we think about gospel, we're going, you know, that thing I've got to do. Or in a sense of it's an event, or I'm not coming up with the right term probably. But what I want to emphasize is that for Jesus, it was something that moved him desperately. For the joy set before him, he endured a cross. He was moved so much that he wanted to go to the cross for the salvation of people. So the point I'm trying to get across when I say Jesus came to seek and save the lost, it means with every fiber of his being, he longed, he prayed for, and had great passion for the salvation of people. This was number one on his heart. He came to forgive sin, to rescue people from darkness and bring them into the light. He came to set people free from slavery of sin and eternal death. He sets people free from sin, which means you're no longer obligated to sin when you're a born-again Christian. That is glorious. You have freedom to choose. You have freedom to love Jesus, obey him, and to love your neighbor. You have the freedom to do that. This is glorious news. Apart from that, there was no freedom. You were a slave to sin and death. All of us were at one point. He came to give people freedom to live for God and to grow in righteousness. So not only does he save us from sin and death, he gives us freedom to live for God. We couldn't live for God before we knew Jesus, but now we can. That's good news. We have the choice to live for God. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil, which is everything that that corrupts this fallen world. Everything that is confusion and corruption comes from the evil one. He came to destroy that. Instead of death, Jesus came to give life, and life in abundance. By faith in him, he restores a relationship with God, which had been eternally broken. We have an eternal relationship with God, which started the moment you were born again. That's an amazing miracle that we can relate to the God. We were talking about it in our Christianity 101 class this morning. What a miracle that we can relate to God. And we talked about how hard it is sometimes to relate to an invisible God. But he still relates with us. He teaches us along the way. It's a beautiful thing. He came to help us recognize evil and to help us to turn away from it. We couldn't recognize evil before, but now we can. I mean, we could in some ways, in society and things like that. But in terms of what sin was in the depths of it and the darkness of it, he opens our eyes to understand what is evil and what is good. Sinful people with no hope are given a sure eternal hope by faith in Jesus. So the last kicker here on his resume, and this certainly isn't his whole resume. As John said, the books would have to go all the way to heaven. I'm just giving you a few things. Jesus has loved us. He still loves us, and he will always love us with an everlasting love. It's who he is. He loves. So when you share the gospel, you're loving on people. We're going to emphasize that here in a moment. So we do have, So I wanted to read a little bit from 1 Peter. Sorry, I was getting lost in my own notes. In 1 Peter, just to emphasize a little bit of Jesus' resume that we just talked about, there's so many places you can go in the Bible, but I particularly like this one, but there are others as well. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, I'm going to read. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So here is a capsule of the gospel. And I loved it in Daniel's worship today. Literally, as Jason said, I said, wow, he already shared the gospel. I mean, those songs were just ripe with the gospel. And so let's look at this passage. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, there's a characteristic of Jesus. He's merciful. He has given us new birth into a living hope. New birth is a huge part of the gospel. New birth means the old is gone and the new has come. It's a new beginning, a fresh start in God. Things that you never thought of before or even cared about, you begin to care about, and you begin to think about those things. Things of God, things of God's word. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus through the indwelling Holy Spirit. So this is part of the good news. It's a huge, and I think it's actually very, it's something that's very palpable for people who hear that God is offering not only the forgiveness of sin, but a whole new start, a fresh start, a new beginning with him, and you can walk with him for the rest of your life if you so choose. So new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We talked about that. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. I wanted to emphasize all of that is amazing. We get there's an amazing inheritance for staying faithful. But here Peter emphasizes in verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's, by God. I got away from my text here. Wait, I lost it. Shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation. So, in Christ Jesus, part of the gospel message is, as we contend to remain in faith, to stand firm in our faith, to continue to grow in our faith, to continue to walk in our faith, to continue to be more like Jesus, the promise of the scriptures is this: you will be shielded by God. You will be shielded by his power. to keep you. Our part is to walk by faith, to read the Word, to follow Holy Spirit, in relationship with God, to go forward, to obey Him and follow Him. His part is when we do that, He will shield us. So this is good news for people. I mean, there's a weightiness in living in sin. There's a heaviness to it. And people living in it don't really recognize it. Sometimes they do, but they don't know what to call it. But there's good news that they can be rescued from the weightiness of sin. The Paul Bunyan story, right? So 1 Peter here is a capsule of the gospel. And I'm emphasizing Jesus' resume because I want us to know that it is the passion of Jesus' heart to save people. He longs that no one, not one person on earth would perish, but all would have everlasting life. And I said this in the first service, and it may sound a little weird, but that's okay. Okay? Jesus wants no one to perish. He didn't want Adolf Hitler to perish. He wanted Adolf Hitler to have everlasting life. Adolf Hitler, as far as I know, chose not to follow Jesus. I'm pretty sure of that. But Jesus' heart is for every person, for the evil one and the most evil ones that we recognize in the world. If we would say, man, that guy's evil, Jesus longs for that person's soul. Okay? That's the passion of the gospel. That is what I want to get across today, that if we long like Jesus longs for people's lives, then we're going to do the most loving thing. We're going to tell them the gospel. We're going to share with them. So, I want to move on to another scripture, which is in Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13. But I had this marked. There we are. So God is doing things among us here at Grace Point. I'm excited to see some of the things that He's doing. I've been here for 3 years, and I'm seeing an increasing momentum, and I'm getting more and more excited about what Jesus is doing in our midst. And so He is equipping His people to love. That's what He's doing here at Grace Point. He is equipping you to love. That's His purpose for the church, is to take His love out to the people who need it. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Oh, praise God for Paul with his long sentences, huh? Holy moly, he just packs them. But I wanted to emphasize that phrase in there, verse 12, to equip His people for the works of service. He assigns other people roles, pastors, evangelists, apostles, prophets, etc. He assigns them to equip the church to do the service. Because I think sometimes in America, the people in the chairs in front of me, not you, not Grace Point, you would never think like this, okay? But are mostly thinking that the full-time ministry people are the ones that need to be doing the work. You know, I don't believe that about everybody, but I've seen some of that in the country. But Paul in Ephesians, he, through the Holy Spirit, says the reason for the people, Athol gets up here every week, is not to give you a nice story about something Jesus is doing or something from the Word, but to equip you And it's not only Sunday mornings, it's the life groups. It's the prayer meetings. It's the Christianity 101 meeting. It's, you know, whatever the meetings we have even outside the four walls in the marketplace, etc. Those are the places where the people are doing the works of the service. So I really wanted to emphasize that aspect, and I want to tie it in with what, for the past 3 weeks, we've been listening to different ministries, different people who run certain ministries, and how we can connect with them. The reason they came here is so that you and I can understand that we're in partnership with some of the ministries in the neighborhood, and that we can get engaged with those unto what? To share the gospel, which is the most loving thing you can do for anyone. So we get engaged unto serving the gospel. So I think about my wife. She went and she taught them life skills. What if she went and taught them life skills, but never brought Jesus in? Never brought Jesus into the storyline. Just went and helped. You know, they got some life skills, had a good relationship. We ate together, had some good fellowship together, played some games. But they walk away never hearing the gospel. Okay? The whole purpose for Zach Nicholson with Minding the Gap, with Gary Kendall, with his ministry, with Dave Cole and his ministry, with Travis and Brittany and their ministry, is God raised them up to start a ministry that invites other people in for the people who go, I don't know where I belong. I don't know where to serve. I don't know where to go and share the gospel. So Athol, he was very cunning. He got these three people to come in and share. And then my purpose is to point out, hey, they're the ones, if you're not sure who to go and talk to Jesus about, well, Travis and Brittany are right here, fourth row. Okay? They're right here. You can go to them because they invite college students into people's homes to make relationships, like Gilnara did with the girls. They do the same thing. We're not reinventing the wheel. It's about getting with people, making a relationship, and sharing the gospel with them. So now I got excited a few weeks ago. I was in a conversation with Athol, and we're seeing, you know, we had these baptisms a little while ago, okay, and I see at least one face. Okay, I'm looking back at Bob, because Bob was one of our guys who got baptized a few weeks ago. Okay, good to see you, Bob. And I forgot where I was going. Oh, yes. So I want to brag a little bit on our church family, because I'm excited. I get in this conversation with Athol, and, you know, one of my gifts is I can kind of see what's happening. I can see what's going on, and I can put things together, and I'm like, wow, this is God. And probably all of you can do that. I don't feel all that special. But anyways, so I'm talking to Athol, and I'm seeing this momentum picking up in our midst. And I hope some of these people don't mind if I use their names, but I'm really bragging on Jesus and what he did through your life. But, you know, I just want to, for example, Alicia Boots, she had a relationship with a workmate, and through that relationship, she began, you know, they talked, and she began to share her life. They had a relationship. I don't know all the things they did, but eventually they were invited to church. And then that's Bob's family, by the way. So Alicia Boots was in relationship with Trisha, and one thing following the other, the gospel was shared and Bob was baptized. Trisha, a few weeks later, was baptized, and their son, Jesse, got baptized. Why? Because Alicia went out of her comfort zone and just talked to people and eventually shared the gospel and said, hey, come to church. So it's that simple, folks. We just talk to people. Then we have This one I love, and you've already heard this, but I want to say it again anyways for any of those who didn't hear this. On the same day that Bob, Eric, Dakota, and Ben were all getting baptized, and there may have been someone else, on that day, so Bob's son Jesse is down here pacing in the hallway. He seems anxious, and Bill is in the back seat over here. Bill Outerness is out there, and I think Ben Horowitz himself came to help as well. But Bill goes up to him and talks to him, like, what's going on? Are you okay? Ends up talking to Jesus, to Jesse. His dad's getting baptized that day, but Jesse has been dealing with some addiction issues, and he's really nervous about the whole thing. So he's out there pacing. He's not feeling comfortable at all in the church. Bill shares the gospel. I think Ben was there, wasn't he? They share the gospel with him. They say he receives Jesus on the spot and gets baptized the same day. So what is Jesus doing amongst us, and are we getting encouraged by it? He's active in our midst. So, others. I'm going to just bring up a few others. What time? Okay. So Dan, okay, Dan Mattis and Amy Mahoney is our accountant. She doesn't attend our church, but she is our accountant here. You know, they have, last I heard, 15 people, some who weren't believers just several weeks ago, but they have 15 people coming to a office to learn about Jesus. I don't know how many. Maybe you can tell me, Dan, but at least I know Eric, and maybe how many others came to faith? Okay, so two. So at least two people have come to faith because Eric Ray is one of the guys' name. He's attending our Christianity 101. He came to faith through those meetings. So the gospel was shared. There was an invitation. There was fellowship that was made. And we see a new birth in Eric Ray's life. And he was baptized right here and is attending here at Grace Point now. So other ones. Nathan Sack. You all know him. He's not a quiet guy, but he's always doing his work and stuff around the church. But he's in the ministry of podcasts. I mean, he is constantly getting the gospel out through other people telling their testimonies on his podcast. So the gospel is going out into Kansas City. And if you know Nathan Sack, he loves Kansas City. And he really wants to see Jesus made famous in this city. So the Collegiate Impact, I already mentioned. So we have Travis and Brittany here laboring for college students. I mean, if any people need the gospel, it's the universities. Okay, they're being brainwashed. And so we need that ministry and others like it so that our people being equipped can go into those places and share the gospel. So I need to wrap things up. So the whole point of sharing all of this with you right now is not because you never heard the story before, but it's to encourage you, and hopefully the Holy Spirit is stirring up our hearts to share the gospel, because it is the most loving thing we can do. Trust me, you will never feel like you know everything going into one of those situations. You never feel like, you know, really confident. That's okay. Just step into it anyways. Just step into it. So, at the beginning, I told you the testimony of the orphans, and that was to stir you in faith, but I want to give you a few, just a couple takeaways that will help you from that storyline, but it's the same story that Travis and Brittany have at Collegiate Impact. It's the same story that Zach Nicholson has with Minding the Gap, and this is it. How can I get equipped to share the gospel? Here it is. It's very simple. Four parts. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Read your word and listen to the Holy Spirit. That's what Gilnara was doing, and we've done this countless times. We pray, we ask, we listen to the Holy Spirit, then he directs us and tells us where to go and what to do. Then, when he tells you, get engaged with the ministry. If you don't know how to get engaged, then get engaged with people who are already engaged, and they will help you, give you a place to share the gospel with others. If it's your neighborhood, then take what's natural to you. I love that Gary Kendall said that. Take what's natural to you and just do it with some of your neighbors. Start to develop those relationships and share the gospel with them at some point. Number three, establish an authentic concern for those you serve. This one's huge. If this doesn't happen at the heart level, it's just banging the gong. We need an authentic concern for the eternal state of that person in front of us. If we don't have that, we're banging the gong. It's not love yet. So pray. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for the whoever the Lord's putting on your heart. When you pray for them, he is going to make your heart desire that they have eternal life. And then finally, of course, take Jesus's resume and share the gospel with them. It's the most loving thing you can do. Without that, they cannot have eternal life. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. So I'm going to pray. I'll invite Dan and his team, Daniel up. Yes, please. I don't know who's all doing the last part, but whoever's playing with Daniel. And we're going to pray. And we have a wonderful song. It's an old song, but it revitalized my heart recently, and I asked Daniel to play it. I believe it's called "They Will Know That We're Christians by Our Love." And I think it's appropriate for today. So what I want you to do, as Daniel and his team sing, I want you to get real intimate with Jesus right now, just you and him. If it helps to close your eyes. If you don't need to, that's fine. But what I mean is get into that place where it's you and him. And I want you to ask him to help you to do what we talked about today, to do the most loving thing. And if you feel like you don't have a heart for that yet, ask him for it. He's going to give it to you because he is passionate about the salvation of souls. Let me pray. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word because it's the truth. We thank you for the scriptures we read today, Lord, that there is new birth for everyone who calls upon your name. And there is an equipping through the Holy Spirit to do the works of the service for everyone in the church. We thank you, Lord, that you are working in our midst, that you are encouraging us, strengthening us by your Spirit to do those works that you've prepared for us in advance. Lord, we love you, and we want your name to be famous. We want you to get the glory. We want to see you active in the lives of people. We want to see new birth. We want to see new hope. So we ask, Lord, today, humbly, though we're weak, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would use us, even us, to glorify your name by sharing the gospel, by doing the most loving thing we could ever do. In Jesus' name.